Hello and welcome to ABW Radio. Once again, as you can tell, I'm not a fucking pirate. Captain Pugwash has once again walked the plank and deserted us.
I heard what he's done, Jace.
What's he done?
Oh, the beard has only gone and told him this treasure buried in his back garden. So he's been out there all night with a spade, digging holes, and now he's stuck in one of the holes.
Stuck in the holes again?
Certainly is.
Oh, the git. What's he doing to us? Right. Okay. It's the Reading EFL Cup game. Tonight, I am joined by Daniel, the GFP. How are you, Danny?
Technically, my car is the GFP. Well, both of them are. In fact, all three of them are. They're all German. I'm fine. My beard. Look at the state of that. If anyone's got 10p for a cup of tea, chuck it my way.
I tell you what, John Welsh would kill for that beard. He'd kill for it.
I remember not that many years ago, I used to sit in the car when I was out every day with my mates, and I'd have a little pair of tweezers. I'd pull out the white hairs. Imagine if I did that now. Fuck's sake. That's when I had 3 or 4. Look what you've done to me. Just start the pod and this happens.
I blame the pirates.
Maybe we should have a whip round and get a light for your place. What do you reckon?
Are you joking? I'm saving on electricity, pal.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not being funny. I'm Welsh. I'm tight as hell. And also joining me, we have Ellis Mel. Ellis, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. Got a bit of the man flu going on, but I've had a bit of Lemsip. I'm ready to go.
Look. If I'm having both of you bitches morning tonight, okay, I'm going now. Okay? I've had a bad enough day as it is. Yeah, good man. First time we've podded together. Great to have you on board. Right, let's get straight into it. I'm actually going to go to you as well. Ellis, the game, what do you think of it?
I thought the result is what we wanted at the end of the day. I was quite happy with the way Reading sort of came out and tried to play. I think both teams put out quite young teams, didn't they? Got a few youngsters in there, so it's good to see some of the other guys on there. A few names on the bench that I didn't recognise, like Bowler. I've not heard of him before, so it was interesting to see if they came on. Good to have Giroud back. I think he was quite desperate to get a goal, but unfortunately didn't. I think the only thing I'd probably say was a bit disappointed about the game was, although we won 2-0, we had, I don't know how many shots we had, but it felt like we had quite a few, and it would be nice to get a few more goals, but a win's a win, and we move further in a cup that I'm not really that bothered about, but if we get to the final, I'll obviously be bothered. But yeah, all right, all in all, a good game. Not the most entertaining, but not three points, but progressing through to the next stage.
Well, yeah, no, to be fair, that's the way it is. Arsenal guy, yeah, this is the way I look. I'm not pretty. Daniel. Yes. Okay, so, you know, a team full of youngsters. Obviously, it's going to be slightly disjointed. How do you feel the boys performed?
Well, it's games like this that will sort the wheat from the chaff. And as I don't like wheat, I've had my eye on the wheat and I'm keeping the chaff. It's interesting to see who was playing where. I was making little notes of what players were trying to cover in what positions. And I was a little bit disappointed with especially with Lucas and Maitland-Niles, conservative, because they weren't sticking to their positions. Now, I know sometimes if the number 9 in the current Arsenal setup, you get a bit of a free roll to go and do whatever you want. But there again, so does the Ozil position. But you can't have Iwobi, Lucas and Maitland-Niles all running around like headless chickens. Meanwhile, someone on the left-hand side, the Jeff, doing very, very little. And I thought first half Jenkinson was very, very impressive, but he was tired towards the end. And as we only have 2 right backs at the club that are fit, he was going to have to play the entire game. Holding looked very, very good. It reminded me a little bit of Tony Adams, the way that he'd get the ball and just, right, that's it. Like a teacher marching a naughty school kid to the headmaster's office. Holding has that ball. Right, I'm taking the ball and I'm going away. And no one could stop him. And he didn't have a care in the world and he did it superbly. Martinez was brilliant. A couple of really good saves. That's now 2 clean sheets in a row for him, which is really nice to see. Elneny was fantastic for me in central midfield. And the Ox, different gravy. Those two, for me, the Elneny and the Ox, were the only two there that have done themselves any favours, apart from Holding. But Holding's not going to get in, is he? And Martinez isn't going to get in the first team. I mean, the first team squad. So that was my initial thoughts. What do you think to it?
Yeah, look, you know, they you know, obviously it's not, I wouldn't say thrown together, but it's a team that won't have had a lot of time to prepare. There's a lot of kids in there. Great to see Jenko and Giroud returning from injury. I thought Jenko did himself did well for himself. I felt Holding really, as Unique 79 has said, and Mabin, he looks a prospect. He is just so calm on the ball. A bit like Mustafi, real thinker by the looks of things. Good to see Gibbs getting a run out. Not much for him to really do, I suppose. I know they had a couple of chances, but it was always going to happen. I felt Maitland-Niles, Willocks, Lalalem, Adelaide, and Iwobi weren't exactly great.
Mina.
Unique 79, you're always interacting. You always get a shout out. Nice to see Ox progressing again. Really,
5 goals this season now.
Yeah. But he looked more composed in his play. He looked a bit more confident. He looked to play a bit more heads-up football, I felt, which has always been a bit of an issue with him. And Perez, he's on a hiding to nothing, really, with the midfield. Some of our set piece is poor. I mean, Ox's set piece at times was not great. It was a team that's learning, so they were on a bit of a hiding to nothing. It was quite strange because I watched on a stream, but the stream was in Spanish, so I played the BBC radio feed for it. And the commentator, my God, he was all over Liam Moore of Reading. It was as if he was like a dog licking his balls. It was bloody pathetic, okay? It was terrible. It was just some of the worst commentary ever. Stefan Schwartz.
You wish.
Schwarzer, the goalkeeper, was commentating as well. And as usual, they're giving the teams a bit of a hard time. But I thought Perez, he shows lots of endeavour. It's his pace we want to utilise, though. So, you know, it's one of those. Specifically with people coming back from injury, Jenko and Giroud. Obviously, a tiring game for them guys. But how do you feel it went for them coming back from that those injuries?
I thought, like, Jenko did quite well. I thought that he sort of come back and it looked like he never been gone. So I was quite happy with his performance, to be honest. He didn't really put a foot wrong. You didn't notice him massively. He had a good opportunity quite early on in the first half, didn't he, to maybe get a goal. But yeah, I was quite happy with Jenko's performance.
Yeah. No, agreed. And Giroud coming on, Danny, how did you feel?
I did actually tweet about that with about 10 minutes of the first half left. I said, do you watch Giroud's going to... I mean, I'm not picking the lottery numbers here. It was quite obvious it was going to happen, but I didn't think it was going to happen so soon. I hoped he would do. But for him to come on for the Jeff, because I think the Jeff was doing nothing and Lucas was really not used to playing in that position, like you just said, that he has very little support in a team that is not really spent much time playing together. And then for him to come on so soon, which is good for him. It's good to get a run out. He nearly scored a couple of goals, so in hold on, didn't want to say a little burpee poo. So for him to come on and do that, it was good to see, and it's also nice to see Lucas play on the left hand side. But I think he'd worn himself out running around the entire pitch all over the place, so it's good to see. And very impressed with Jenkinson in the first half. I thought he was very, very good. But the only thing about Jenkinson was the usual thing that at times he was further forward than the Ox was. And then when he got further forward, then the Ox would move in infield a little bit. And then you'd have even more chaos in the middle because Iwobi and Lucas, I don't know if they were looking at it, they're going, oh, hold on, I'm playing in this position, but then you're playing in there. But I think the Ox had to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and take some control because nobody else was. And in the first half, he put in some really decent crosses, low powerful crosses. I think that's one of the games that we could look back at for the Ox and say that could be the beginning of the making of the man. Because 5 goals in, 9 games this season?
Something like that.
Yeah, 5-11 in all competitions. Yeah, so that's his best record ever for us, because every other season, the most he's ever got is 4-26 back in his first season for us.
Yeah. Well, go on, Alice.
I was going to say, he's making like a decision for the manager now, isn't he? He's like you say, knocking on the door. He's giving him a hard decision to make because he's not starting. And when he's getting these opportunities, he's taking them really. When he has the opportunity to scoring goals or getting assists or getting involved in basically what's going on. So I think that's the best thing he can do. Obviously, he had that sort of interview on Goals on Sunday, didn't he? And everyone's making a bit of a bigger fuss when he said, I might have to consider my future at the end of the season. But if he starts to progress to the way he's progressing at the moment and maybe does get a call up into the first team and continues to sort of do well, and that's going to be an easy decision for him to make at the end of the season, isn't it?
So, especially with Iwobi not playing too well out on the left-hand side. Iwobi's young. He's allowed to make all the mistakes in the world. I don't really care how many mistakes he makes, but we've seen, I was saying that Monreal has been, in previous games, is being shown with his lack of pace. But then on the last pod, Steve said, yeah, but he's getting no protection. It's the old days where Bellerin would have no protection from Walcott on the right-hand side, which is now sorted out. On the left-hand side, Monreal is getting no protection from Iwobi. So I think we may see the Ox playing on the left-hand side a little bit more, because he's played in the first team a little bit more. Maybe it's time to give Iwobi a bit of a rest, because tonight Iwobi had the chance to shine playing in the 10 position, which I think could well be his future best position. But I don't think he's done himself any favours by his performance tonight. So I mean, we can see the Ox playing again on the left-hand side, then that might help Monreal shore up the left-hand side.
Okay, yeah, well, to be fair, you know, we all know Monreal's not the quickest, okay? I think, you know, people have been slagging him off recently. Against Ludogorets, Gibbs got torn a new one a couple of times without as much pace as was thrown at, as has been thrown at Monreal in the last couple of weeks. Again, you know, you never ever thought I'd say it, but these boys need a Theo work rate at the moment. You know, they need a Theo work rate. They need to be working hard in defending. The Ox, I think, showed a bit of that tonight. I think you'd get that at a Perez naturally, but again, he hasn't had enough performances, opportunities to sort of shine as of late. But the one thing with the Ox, you know, I really like him. Really like him as a character, as a player. But he's got to be playing heads up football, and he's got to be working harder than he has done. So you know, when he talks about having to leave, that's down to him. That's absolutely down to him. He either mans up and delivers, or you know, that's the way it'll go. Right, guys. You guys in the chat watching the moment, about 105 at the moment. Thank you very much for tuning in. Obviously, you know, we're just three guys talking bollocks without you.
I'm talking more bollocks than others before you say it.
Well, it is still three guys talking bollocks, but just talking the bollocks themselves. Chris, Danny and the guys put a lot of hard work in the radio show. If you could help us out, if you could give us a like on the bottom of the screen, that would be much appreciated. It just helps promote the show. And all the boys, you know, they give up their time. Fair play to them. Admire them. I would say after every game, but Chris screwed the pooch on Saturday. The dick. So if you could give us a like, that'd be much appreciated. Thank you. Okay. So one of the things I wanted to bring up, guys, a couple of weeks ago in Swansea, we saw Xhaka get a red card for a challenge without any attempt at getting the ball. Tonight, there were three of those challenges, Evans, McCleary and Moore. And only two yellow cards were dished out. No red cards, no attempt to win the ball whatsoever. Terrible, you know, just trips, which was, you know, which is all basically Xhaka did. And yeah, Evans didn't even get a booking. What were your thoughts on it, Ellis?
Well, what are you going to say, really? Like, I think sometimes Arsenal fans, we do get a bit funny and we do think the whole world's against us and we've got a bit of a siege mentality. But it's just, it's a bit annoying. I think what you want from referees is you want a bit of consistency. And I'm going to harp back to the Goals on Sunday programme again, because they mentioned about that sending off for Xhaka. And they were saying that that's actually a rule now that they might be trying to like impose. And Ox did say, yeah, they've been told about it. But that's all well and good. But then if the same thing happens in another game with other players, then it should be the same for everyone. It just wasn't like you say, you could pick three times in this game where the same sort of things happened with Xhaka. And some people haven't even got a yellow, and others have, but like you said, Evans didn't. But it's not just this game, it's all the games across the Premier League and other leagues across the world. It happens all the time. So those are professional fouls, and they warrant a yellow, but nothing more, in my opinion. It's a bit frustrating. It's also frustrating as well how we haven't really appealed it. I think the only reason for not appealing it is purely the fact that when we could have appealed, we had sort of a lot of strength and depth in that position. So that might be the only reason we haven't appealed it, but I think you should have, really, to be honest.
I thought maybe we get a certain amount of grace with the appeals panel, and if we appeal everything, we don't need to appeal this one because we've got no injuries, we've got no player worries. It might teach him a bit of a lesson not to be so silly doing that, and save it for a time that we really do need it.
Going back to that, there's been like times like previously last season and seasons before that when we've been crying out for players to make those sort of tackles, because then the player gets down the wing, does Monreal plays, puts in a good cross and they score a goal. So I don't really want Xhaka to think that's not a tackle I should be making in those situations. I think sometimes it is.
Look, I think it's great. I think it's a great challenge. I love the cynical side of football. You know, I'm not being funny. Put him in Rose Ed. Fuck him. Okay. The problem you got is that twat John Moss was refereeing. Mm-hmm. He's a major cocksucker. Sorry, boys. I was going to go for a no swearing podcast, but I've had a bad day.
Do you want me to make your day even worse?
Go on.
In the prediction league, guess who got 2-0 the Ox? Only one person. He's American.
Shredder
got 2-0 the Ox.
Girl can gay.
Hold up there. Look who's just fucking popped up in that chat box. Have a look.
Here he is. Oh, here he is. Oh, he's got himself out of the hole.
Captain Pugwash himself.
he's been a busy boy.
Look, he's mental. Oh, swigging rum and doing his hair.
Counting his doubloons.
Honestly.
They want to teach his parrot to speak.
My name's Arsene Wenger, pretty boy.
That's what he wants it to
say. Oh, just stop it. Oh, he's even given us an R.
Yeah, you were saying about that, the tackler not getting booked. When Xhaka did it, it was on the halfway line on the right-hand side in front of the fourth official. When the bloke did it on Giroud was going to be one-on-one with their last defender, for God's sake. I know it is a straight red if the point you're making is ours shouldn't have been a red, not that theirs should have been a red, because none of theirs should have been a red, but it's just something. But the commentator said, so I was watching the BeIN Sports one, he went, oh, there you go, there's another dark yellow.
and this is the point, isn't it? You know, this is the point. We've been penalised for 3 games. Is it 3 games, ban he's had? I think it is. And there's no need for it. And I can't for the life of me understand why we haven't appealed it, and tonight then, you know, we get 3 of them played in us and only 2 yellow cards dished out. You know, I just don't get it. Okay, let's go on to sort of brighter spot. Martinez, fabulous save from the free kick. You know, a real brilliant reaction save. Danny, what were your thoughts on his performance tonight? He was a little bit Hollywood with a couple of saves. But, you know, a clean sheet and a decent night for the young man.
I really like Martinez. He's biding his time as well. He had a bit of a disastrous loan last season. He's had 4 loans from us. He had one at Oxford where he only played a game, one at Sheffield Wednesday where he played about a third of a season, another one at Rotherham where he didn't really do much, and the whole of last season at Wolves only played 13 league games because he got injured and then couldn't get his way back into the team. But he is he's 24 now, and that's the kind of age where he should be thinking, I really need to go and become first team goalkeeper somewhere. And for the fact that he's only 24... Oh, 23 days ago. No, actually, a month ago. Bloody hell, 2nd of September. I don't even know what year it is. So I really like him. I think he's a nice big goalkeeper. I do like my goalkeepers to be Seaman-esque, as in the height. And so he's 6'4". He's He's had a decent number of games for us now in all competitions. Oh God, I'm not going to bother counting because they've put all of his loan games to 8, 9, 10. So 10 games over the space of the 6 seasons he's been here. And some of them he was here when he was only a child. But he's a goalkeeper that fills me with confidence. It's nice to have a little bit of South American flair on the pitch. If we can't have it as a striker, we might as well have it as a goalkeeper. As long as we don't get it at right back, like what was his name? Oh, Nelson Vivas. Oh, he was a mental case. Yeah, so I like him, and he's done himself a favour there, but I don't think he has got any chance of making it anywhere near the first team this season, where we've got Cech as our number one, and we've got Ospina as our cup goalkeeper. So I think we'll do well with him all the way to the final if we can get there, and I think if we get to the final, he will keep his place in the final. Yeah, I really rate him, and I like him. He's a good goalkeeper, and yeah, tonight he was really good. What, 3 or 4 decent saves? Even though the Ox did give the ball away and have to keep him on his toes, but he maybe did that on purpose just to make sure he was ready.
I heard Nelson Viva sunk Chris Carpenter once.
Oh, he did. but Chris signed his shirt, so it was all okay.
Spit and sawdust. The Gooners in the USA in the box. Hello, lads.
I'm going on their podcast on Sunday.
Oh, fuck, poor buggers.
Well, it's midnight, so I don't know if it's Saturday or Sunday. And the clocks go back.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah, Radio Rentals 1 and back. Go back on Sunday.
God help. Ellis.
Oh, here he is. Look, there you go. Jace is in the chat window. Danny, you should mention my prediction for the match. We already have done, Jace. 2-0, you jammy shit. That's £20 you owe me because you put 6-0 Reading, and I've changed it for you for £20.
I thought you put 7-5 Abuay.
I think you... Yeah, that's what you put your tit. Yeah. I get 3 predictions off you before you do one properly. Sorry, Jace. Go on.
Danny. I think you'll find Mr. Shredder's prediction was a bit late, so therefore counts as nothing.
No, he's 7 hours behind us, so if anything, it was a day early.
Danny, play along for fuck's sake. Honestly, I'm trying to nobble the league.
Top of it, I think.
Oh, don't.
I know.
Do you have to? Do you have to ruin my night?
I think looking at the top of the league, Chris is on 17 before tonight's. And David, Mr. Gunholic, the legend, is on 15. Raj is on 15. And all the guests and our Jeff are on 15. Bloody hell. How the hell's what?
I thought I was top by like 86.
No, you've got 11. You've got because the Welsh are going for independence, you've had to be taxed on yours, so you're down to 11. And only 2 people have ever got 100% score right. Chimp has 1, and now Mr. Shredder has 1. So Shredder is on 15 points tonight.
Cockwombles, the lot of them. In any case, back to the game. Okay, so it will be Adelaide, Willocks, Lalalem. Maitland Niles.
Conservative.
Well, 10 points.
Hey!
any of them going to trouble? Well, obviously, Wobie's in the first team as is at present. Of the rest of them, anybody threatening to challenge the first team at the moment?
Not really on that performance last night. I thought Wobie did all right, to be honest. And I think Maitland Niles was all right. They're just, like I said, they're just average performances, really, I think.
But Maitland Niles' best position is, and when he was at Ipswich last season, he played 30 games, got 1 goal. His position is out wide. I'm not sure if he's left. I should think he's a right winger. So we've got too many right wingers at the club at the moment. So his first game in the League Cup, he played right back. His second game, he played in central midfield. And I think sometimes he thought he was an attacking midfielder, sometimes an ultra defensive midfielder. He was all over the shop, I thought. But I don't think we got to see him in his best position. But so far, that's not been too good, has it?
Yeah, I think it's difficult when you're moved all over the shop. It's hard to sort of get to grips with what your objective is for the match.
But as well as that, none of them really showed any metal. I thought they were all... They looked like kids playing in the team tonight. You know, they had enough talent to beat a very average Reading side. But... You know, Zlalalem, you know, we spoke about this a couple of years ago. I thought it would have changed him going to Rangers and playing up in Scotland, but no real killer instinct. Willock is a bit younger again, so, you know, you got to give him time. I delayed a massive amount of talent, but no cutting edge. Where are they going to get this cutting edge from, guys? Because obviously the under-23s, they're not delivering it.
I think Norma Ott makes a bit of a good point in the chat box, saying that Stella Lam needs to beef up a bit. He is quite small, really, and he's been playing in, obviously, for Rangers last season. It's not exactly a top-quality league. It's a bit of a step up when you come to
But what it is, rough and tumble. It is rough and tumble, so you'd think, you know, he'd get a bit about him. Didn't really show it.
Yeah, but the quality's still not great. Like you say, like he still needs to beef up, and that rough and tumble might have helped him a bit. But as for quality, it's nowhere near, I think, the Premier League or some of the top half of the Championship teams.
I think all those boys now, they've all got to the edge where they can no longer play for the under-18s, which is now the other league has gone from under-21, it's now become under-23, and currently we're 9th out of 12, and we've played 8, 1, 2, drawn 1, lost 5, scored 6 goals in 8 games and conceded 14. We're having a bit of a hard time in that league at the moment. Admittedly, we did just lose at the weekend 1-0 to Man United because most of the decent players that are in that squad are going to be in the squad for the Reading game. So that's a bit of a shame. But they're not having too much of a good time in that league after just freshly being promoted from the second tier, which they spent, I think, about two seasons in that tier. But yeah, where are they going to get the games? It's only going to be the League Cup, because I don't think any of those players have shown enough to be able to get an FA Cup game or even be on the bench for a Premier League game. So it's League Cup or bust. So thankfully we're still in it, and hopefully we'll get an easy draw and we'll get through to the next round.
But it's a shame, isn't it? Because I can remember people like Cesc Fabregas, Carlos Vela, Fran Morita, some of those sort of players that really seemed to like step it up when they got a chance in like the Carling Cup when it was back then, or the EFL Cup now. So it's a shame that they're not really taking this opportunity. But like you say, at least they've got possibly another game to give it a go.
Well, Liverpool, Hull and Newcastle all got through, and I think Leeds are possibly still playing. And then, so there's no easy teams, because tomorrow it's West Ham, Chelsea, Southampton, Sunderland, Man United, Man City. So there are no, going forward, I suppose the only easy game there is possibly going to be Hull. And that's about it, because Newcastle are rocketing away with the Championship, and they won 6-0 tonight.
But Preston the player sent off, apparently. But again, okay, so we were talking about giving these guys games at a higher level. You know, there's no guarantee they're going to get games if they got on loan. And you know, even if we reach the final of the League Cup, there's only 5 games in total without replays. So, you know, they have limited opportunity, to be fair to them. But somebody has to really, you know, step up. And I didn't feel any of them did tonight, to be honest. Other than holding, Martinez is decent. But that's about it. So it's a bit of a shame. I think these guys really need to now look at themselves and think, you know, you look at Iwobi in the team, you know, for as much as Iwobi's a massive talent, you know, is he doing enough? You know, because at the moment he just seems to be doing a bit more than Ox, a bit more than Perez, you know, do you know what I mean? That seems to be the position at the moment on that side, but I may be wrong and you may have different views. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was thinking about the centre-back position with... I was quite surprised that I think Holding outplayed Gabriel completely tonight. Gabriel doesn't seem he doesn't seem to be bothered about the fact that he's gone from possibly playing every game with he said Kanchelskis then, Koscielny. He's gone from being his only partner to now being behind Mustafi. And I reckon if it come to it, Wenger wouldn't even play Gabriel ahead of Holding. I mean, tonight, Gabriel didn't do anything wrong, but he wasn't outstanding. He didn't do anything that made you think, oh, hello, like then with Holding did. So I think that's... Gabriel looks like he's almost given up, and a player of that... the amount of wages he's on, he's going to want to be first choice, isn't he? Because at the moment, it's Mustafi and Koscielny first, and then it's going to be Per third, and then it's probably Holding fourth. So I don't think Gabriel's going to be happy with being fifth choice centre-back, is he? Not that he did anything wrong tonight, but Holding just looked better.
Okay. I mean, I got to be honest, I thought Holding looked far more composed. Mm-hmm. Ellis, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think we always go on about it, but I think the language barrier is probably what... makes it harder for Gabriel. I think when he initially came in, when we got him in, was it the January two seasons ago, yeah. When he initially came in, I thought he looked quite good. And there was a period when Per wasn't having a very good run in the team, and people were calling for Gabriel to get in just purely because of his pace over Per's pace. But in defence, pace is everything. I think it's all about the sort of partnership you can make with your current centre-back partner. And we've seen that a lot with how Mustafi sort of come into the game. Him and Koscielny seem to have a good partnership. When Per used to play with Koscielny, they always, most of the time, seem to have quite a good partnership. And Gabriel doesn't really seem to fit in with any of the centre-backs we have at the moment. That might be purely because of the language barrier. Mustafi's got really good English previously from his time at Everton. Per's got good English. Koscielny, they can communicate quite well in English, and obviously Holden is English, so they can all communicate quite well. Off.
Even I wouldn't say that. He's an awful lad. Hey, old lad. Hey, Gabriel, lad. Give us the ball.
to be fair, I mean, there's a few disagreements in there in the box about where Pear fits in. I think, you know, you've got to remember that experience and the know-how. Okay, but he's never had pace. But if you put Gabriel in, to be fair, if the ball's in the air, he just doesn't look right. I don't think an English bird will help him. I'm sorry, guys. It's not going to help him. Incentives regardless, okay? not that we at ABW condone that sort of thing in any shape or form.
But Per is 32 now, and he did retire from international football after winning the World Cup. So that's helped him quite a bit. And I think this is the longest injury that I've known him, because I've kept an eye on him throughout his career. That means someone's going to tell me he was out for 3 years with a broken ear or something. I don't know. But at 32, he's got to be thinking, well, this is my time. This is when I should be making that spot my own.
Well, you know, for Per, I think it's the twilight of his career, isn't it? You know.
I've always said toilet there.
Twilight.
That's what I thought you said as well. I was like, well, that's strange.
Toilet in his career.
No, I think that applies to Gabriel at the moment, to be honest, unfortunately. but there you go. I mean, the centre-halves, when Per does come back, we're going to be quite lucky to have a plethora of options there. And we've got Chambers to come back, and it seems like he's learning a lot up in Borough. Jason Forey has mentioned, how can a professional footballer not beat the first man? Jesus, have you seen Santi Cazorla take a corner? Fuck's sakes. Come on. It's the curse of the Arsenal, the other set piece. You know, in all fairness, we've got quite a lot of them.
In our WhatsApp group, the Mongs group, he said, wait till Ozil sees the Ox's free kicks. I don't know who put that in there. It might have been Steve.
Steve, yeah. To be fair to Steve.
He's going to wet himself. Yeah. He ain't going to be worried.
Give credit to him. Give credit to Steve. In the WhatsApp group, we all go off on one on occasion. And when I've gone off
all the time.
I went off on one at Santi. When was it? His Newcastle
all
game.
The time, I'm
within
like, when don't you go off on Santi?
I genuinely don't go off on him that often. But within
you
a minute,
stand up and try and do the chant for him at the game you were at.
No. Wait for it. Well, anyways, as I go off on him, he scores, and that's what happened to Steve tonight. So credit Steve for this win. Brilliant. At the Swansea game, I was winding the boys up, we're all in the box, and whenever Santi made a mistake, I was on him. Oh, no, come on, Santi. Give him a bit of grief. And of course, whenever he did something well, all the boys are giving me loads of stick. And Fife even started the Cazorla chant. Which I thought was really well done. Really good day. Sad to see OG leave the country, but he's back with his family now. Obviously, Max will not be allowed to listen to this for the foul language. But there you go. Hi, Max. Hi, Jeff. Hi, Mrs. OG. Hope you're all well. Missing
little boom in the making.
Oh, he's superb, isn't he?
And he's over the moon with his third choice. No, his third Ramsey kit. No, the third kit one. How do you put that? So it makes it sound that he's not been given a kit that was third choice. I don't want it. I don't want it. You have it. No, the Arsenal third kit. Jeff got it for his son, and he's over the moon with it.
If anybody knows Aaron Ramsey, can we please get Max an autograph or an autographed shirt? I will pay for the shirt.
We will.
I'll pay for the postage and packaging.
And if it's someone Welsh.
I'm trying to find everybody I know, but if we can get an Aaron Ramsey signed shirt for young Max, I will be a slave for a week, and I'll pay for it. I'll pay for the postage. So back to tonight's game. We're talking the bollocks, yeah? Gibbs as captain, thought he did quite well. What are your thoughts on it, guys?
Well, Arsene Wenger doesn't really take the captaincy that seriously, does he? We've had before when Theo Walcott got it for his 100th game. But in all fairness, Gibbs is probably, out of that starting 11, one of the most senior players
who's
been at the club. So I suppose, really, this is not a massive surprise. But I don't put much thought into it or much emphasis on the captain because Arsene Wenger clearly doesn't, and so doesn't really bother. I think it doesn't matter who wears the armband. It's more about who on the pitch takes the initiative and who's got the balls to pull someone out when they're not doing well and sort of get the team back up. And I think recently we've not had enough of those sort of players, but the likes of Xhaka and Mustafi coming, I think we're starting to move in the right direction for those sort of players. But like I said, Gibbs is probably the most senior one on that pitch, so there you go.
No. I think it's a fair comment. I didn't see any other option there, to be fair. Danny, your thoughts on it, young Gibbs?
I thought he should have had a better game than he actually had because he's not because of the captaincy thing, but because he's there and it was almost the senior player amongst that team. He was. I would have thought he'd have done a little bit more. Actually, maybe he's trying to prove a point to Wenger, the fact that he wasn't running forward with gay abandon like Jenks was, playing down the right-hand side, overtaking the Ox. And the Ox was going, where the fuck are you going? I'm the right winger. He was very defensive. They didn't do much attacking down the left-hand side. I think quite a lot of their stuff either come through the middle or down the left-hand side. So he's on the right, he's on the left, so they didn't come down the right-hand side. He did make a couple of mistakes, though. I can't remember what they were, but I remember thinking, that's not too good. But he wasn't, none of them were really, I think the only person that was really tested was Martinez, and even that wasn't that much. I think Reading, I think they're eighth in the league. They've got a pretty decent away record. I think they've won two or three out of the last four away games, but they'll be concentrating on the league like all teams in their position are, teams that are good enough to be in a Premier League with a good enough ground. And I think that's where they obviously want to get back to. I don't like it when players say, obviously, but it is obvious they want to get there. They don't want to head down to League One. So that's very obvious. I hate it when players say that all the time, especially
Jesus
when it is.
Wept. Are you going to prattle on forever? It's obvious. It's obvious. It's obvious.
It annoys me. They keep saying obvious. Don't fucking say obvious. There's no point saying it.
So, as John Welsh once said, some of them are not the brightest. Mario Rivas is in the house. Hiya, Mario. You're right. Good to see you, bro. I always say all the time. That's my thing.
That's allowed.
Thank you very much.
That's a verbal pause. And hers.
One thing that Gibbs and Jenko gives you on as the right and left back is massive amount of pace. We saw Jenko utilise it. He had a shot on goal. You know, it's his first game back, and Mark Schwarzer said he should have done better. Fuck off, Mark. Give the guy a break. You know, he's been out injured since January.
What Mark said, I didn't hear. I was busy typing.
He thought Jenko should have finished better in front of goal. The guy's been out since January.
That's only the second time in his life he's been that close to a goal.
Exactly. And have you seen our strikers at the moment? You know, to be fair, some of them couldn't finish in a brothel. I thought Jenko was really bright. I think Gibbs obviously gives you something, but the one thing with the pair of them is mentally they're a bit fragile when defending, and they've got two players ahead of them who are very strong. They didn't really get tested tonight, did they? By the way, who saw that bloody monster Reading brought on? What the hell was that? They brought
the crap centre back.
My God!
I thought it was Akin Fenway at first when I saw him.
Jeez, I thought
I was going to shout to him, "Oi, son, it's not FIFA, it's not real life."
I thought they just got up to some bloke out of the security guards out and popped him on. He was massive. But no, that was quite entertaining. What do we think of Reading's display? Yapstam in charge now. They've been solid in defence for the last few games, apparently. What do you think?
I think it's quite a a change squad, isn't it? It's like Danny was saying, they're probably more focused on the league and trying to gain promotion if they can. So there's quite a lot of youngsters on there. I don't know a lot of Reading players, but some of the players I do know weren't playing. And so they've made a few changes. They seem to have sort of come and give us a go, but it's just at the end of the day, we had slightly a bit more quality really than them, even with the rotations we made.
And to be fair, the quality, you know, the talent in our side is undeniable, but again, difficult to pull together for these games. Yeah, and execute. Yeah, Danny, did you enjoy the game? Because I thought it was a bag of crap, to be fair.
I always enjoy the League Cup games. I mean, I looked at Reading's form and they won their last game.
Yeah, you hate the Champions League, but you love the League Cup, don't you? You love the League Cup.
I do like the League Cup.
Absolute shitbag.
I like the League Cup because I've always had fond memories of seeing the young players making their debut, whether it be Bentner or who went to Blackburn and then went on to play for the Scum and scored that goal from nowhere.
Oh, Bentley.
DB52, whatever it was. And Fabregas and Bentley and Bentner and all these young I'm not going to list them all these young players. I look forward to when I was going to seeing there and just watching the young players, because on the telly you mainly have to watch what you're shown, but when you go to these games then you can watch these young players and see how they are, how their positioning is when they're running around the field and stuff like that. So I was looking at Reading's their form, and they've only won one in their last six games, but their away form has been much better. They've won four out of their last seven away. So that for some reason, they're better away than they are at home. And that's why I thought they'd give us a tougher game than they actually did. So I thought I was quite looking forward to it. I do like to see those sort of games, but I did feel a little bit, there was too many players that they weren't playing in where I would have wanted them to have played. Partly because I think Wenger used this as a chance to get players to get out there and get some time. Jenkinson and Gibbs needed to get some first team minutes under their belt. Same with Giroud. I hoped more from Lucas, but Lucas looked like he was out to try and impress. And I know when Arsenal have the number nine, or the number nine that he is, the main striker when we play at Arsenal at the moment, doesn't mean you do a Giroud and you try and stay up front and you get everything. He was trying to, like that bit where he's running on goal and he's so left-footed that he passed the ball left of his left foot, and then the player who he passed it to, it might have been Iwobi, had a man on him and there was nothing he could do about it. But I think he panicked that time because he was trying his hardest to look good and maybe sneak another goal after his recent couple of decent displays for us, where he got a couple of assists in the Ludogorets game, and then he scored a goal, or was it one or two goals when we played
two in the League Cup? Two against Forest. He's got a penalty. The one with all the pace.
Yeah, so I don't think it's done him any damage. He's still going to be on the bench for most of the Premier League games, and he's still going to get a few run out. You can't judge him by that much, but yeah, it was disappointing that he personally wasn't able to have a bigger impact on the game.
Okay, I'm just going to Benny's in the house. I admit. Just a couple of things from the chat box. Tommy Lee, always been puzzled by the nickname the Royals. Surely it should be the Librarians. I think it's something to do with Royal Berkshire or something, mate. You know, you learn something new every day. Matthew Finch, I take Sturridge in a heartbeat. Christ isn't our bloody
he'd fit in well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he'd be, oh my God, he'd be on the injury table with the rest of them, wouldn't he? Oh, I've got the sniffles.
I was surprised not to see, there was reports that Debuchy was training with the first team again, so I don't know what's going on with that, because I'm sure there was a picture of him training. George Bird may have tweeted that he was training as well, so it's a little bit strange that he wasn't included on the bench. Or, I mean, we don't know, he may not be ready, maybe training is all he can do at the moment. But Jenkinson seems to have come back from injury and gone straight into the reserve team and played a full 90 minutes.
Look, it would be nice to have them both back fit, wouldn't it?
I've still got a lot of time for Debuchy. I think people get on his back a little bit, but if it wasn't for that prick Arnautovic ruining his Arsenal career, then he probably, there again, if he wouldn't have done that, then Bellerin wouldn't have come through and been one of the best right backs in the world at the moment.
It's difficult for the professional players, aren't they? And they all have their ambitions, etc. And with the European Championships being in France, you know, yes, I went in for Arsenal first, but the truth of the matter is, it is different for every individual, and we should be a bit more thoughtful towards them. Okay, people in the chat box, there's 107 of you. Ooh, very impressive.
Are they all in the same room? That's what I want to know.
I hope not. It'll get all
they got nibbles. So there's been nibbles and lots of
Pepsi Max, isn't it? Babe?
What's
Pepsi
it? Max.
Oh, what's this old Arsene Wenger song? Arsene Wenger's having a party. Bring your vodka and your... Don't mention it. Are they all doing that? If you could give us a like, that guys. If you could give us a thumbs up.
I keep meaning to look into that. I think the more we get, the more the chance that YouTube will make more promoters. But I think we get so few anyway. I don't think any Arsenal podcasts really do get that many. But it just looks good. Makes Chris feel loved.
Yeah, Chris likes a thumb up the bottom. Yeah. So that would be much appreciated. I think it's my time to wrap this up, to be honest with you guys. It was League Cup. It was second string side trying to bring some youngsters through. Overall, are we happy with the performance? Daniel?
Yes, I am. And I'm hopefully, depending on who we can get in the next round, that will be the most important thing is them all getting games, all getting time, and hopefully in the next round. I'd like to see us get Hull at home because Hull are scrapping for their lives at the bottom of the Premier League. And what I don't want is one of the big teams because I'm not sure if the Leeds were God, because there's no extra time. No, it goes to extra time, doesn't it? So Leeds Norwich was 2-2 last time I looked. Oh, it's going to penalties. And it looks like it's 3-2 to Leeds. Oh, imagine getting dirty Leeds at the Emirates. Oh, I'd love that.
I tell you what, Unique 79, we love you. Dave Faber's in the house. Dave, how are you, boy? Stefan Selby, what's your score at 100? I don't know what the fuck you're on about, Steph. I have no idea.
No, I asked about the game. Rate the game out of 100. I gave it 68.8, I think.
All right, I couldn't give a shit. Okay. Leeds won on penalties, apparently. Fantastic.
So the draw will be tomorrow night after the game, I should think.
Matthew Finch, if you think it's a great show, give us a thumbs up. We've only got 37. Come on, people. Jesus.
We once got about 70.
I want to be in bed by now. okay, so right, if anybody's got any questions, let's go get them out, Joe. We've got Unique 79's first year. Stefan Selby, I do love him, he's a top man.
Oh, we've got a question.
Yeah. I'll come to that now. Oh. Ellis, your overall thought on the game?
We won. I said it last time I was asked about the upcoming game for Nottingham Forest, and I said I wasn't really bothered. The EFL didn't really, it's not a tournament I pay too much attention to or that bothered about if we get knocked out. It's just an opportunity to see some of the reserve players that I don't know much about hopefully make some sort of show for themselves. But, yeah, we won. happy about that. Don't look that happy, but I am.
Oh, Matthew Finch, thank you very much. Loving the work. I got to be honest there, you know. The game itself was a bit of a non-entity. Nice to see Ox coming back and sort of building on performance upon performance. Nice to see Holding really showing some maturity and some thought process. Elneny is always neat and tidy. He's not going to set the world alight. Oh, Unique 79, thank you. He's not going to set the world alight, but he's always going to give you a 7 out of 10, neat, tidy.
I really like him.
I do.
Players at the club. He always gives it.
I do, but he's not going to be a world beater, is he? You know? Okay, so let's, guys, if anyone's got any questions, let's get them in now. Right, let's go to Unique 79's picture. You're getting an awful lot of talk tonight, Unique 79. If we go further in the competition, should we stick with the youngsters or play our first team and try to win the competition? Daniel.
Yes, we should, because there's nothing I want to see more than young ZLM scoring a hat-trick in the final against Man United, Man City or Liverpool. And we've beaten them 6-0. I think the them lot getting games is more important than winning the trophy. But winning the trophy, if they get all the way through to the semi-final, that means we'd have had, what is it? You say 5 games to get to the final? So if we get to the semi-final,
we get 3 left, quarter-final now, semi, and then final if we get
to... So that means if we get four games this season, if those lot all mix in with the first team squad, then I'll be happy with that. But if we get to the final, and then that'd be another good day out. But if we do get to the final, I think it's the only trophy Wenger hasn't won under us, and I think he won't be able to play all the reserve players the way he is, and all the youth players. Some of the first team have got to come in, because a trophy is a trophy. That's obvious, isn't it? A trophy is not a trophy. A trophy is not for Christmas, they're for life.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm losing the will to live. Ellis, slightly different question for you. Okay, so, you know, we've seen a couple of comments in the box there regarding, fuck the youngsters, I want to win the trophy. I get that.
Why do you want to fuck the wrong youngsters for? That's a bit dodgy.
It wasn't Jimmy Fassaville saying it, so it's okay. But I'll play devil's advocate on this. So of course, you know, if the youngsters, if they perform like tonight, as they did tonight, where okay, they were decent, but they didn't really impress. Is it time to bring the big guns in to go further, or do we stick with it? You know, because there's an argument for both sides. You know, I'd like to go to a Wembley final again. Okay, it's only the League Cup, but it's a Wembley final. But again, is there something to be said that these guys actually have to earn their place, and it's about time they started stepping up? But again, it's a thrown together team. What do you think?
Well, there's two points of view there, isn't it? Like, personally, my point of view is just like same as Danny, stick the youngsters and let them have a good run out. But you're right in saying that if we're going to judge the next game and say, did those chaps earn their position in the squad for the next game, then you probably say a few of them didn't really. But for me personally, it's only the Carling Cup. It'd be nice to go to Wembley. It'd be nice to win that. I don't think Wenger's won the Carling Cup, has he?
No.
So it'd be nice for him to win it. But at the end of the day, he's never really put too much into it. The sort of the fixtures start to come thick and fast, don't they? And they start to pile up. I think realistically, he probably prefers trying to get a good run in the Premier League and win that, and probably getting a bit further than the knockout stages or the first set of knockout stages in the Champions League and doing well in the FA Cup. But just give it to the kids, let them have a go. If we get to the final and it's against a good squad and we've got a not so hard game coming up after that, then yeah, maybe put some of the more starting guys in there to give us a better chance of winning the actual thing. But for now, just stick with the youngsters, I say.
Okay.
What do you think is your own question, Jace? That's an interesting question.
Genuinely,
I don't care.
Fuck. There goes my answer. To be honest, I think these guys, it's about to, yeah, they're not children anymore. You know, maybe there was a quite interesting piece at half time on BBC Radio where Five Live, where they were talking about back in the day, you know, these guys, these kids are boot boys. Now they're wrapped in cotton wool.
Range Rovers.
Yeah, they're millionaires before they reach the first team, some of them. You know, there seems to be a lack of reality, a lack of discipline to them. And I think here starts the place where, right, if you're not playing well enough, you're dropped. You know, you'll have to work hard in training to get back into the team. Yes, you may be talented, but it's about time. You know, I'm not bothered about the under-23s results. I'm not bothered about the under-18s results. They should be developing these guys for the first team there. But when they hit the first team, yes, like it will be, you know, he has made mistakes. He'll have to learn how to defend when he plays. He'll have to learn when to track back and when not to. That will come with time. But here starts the harsh reality of football. You were talking earlier on about Bentner. You were talking earlier on about X amount of the kids you've watched over the years in the League Cup. Well, if you tell me, out of all the kids we've played in the League Cup, how many of them have actually made it to the Arsenal first team? There's not a massive amount, is there? There's not a massive amount. So, you know, it's about time these guys understood this is the Arsenal. It's not fucking playtime. It's time to deliver. Kevin N. Now, I'm not sure where Kevin N. is from. Kevin N. wants to know where the Muppet song comes from after Zlalalem.
That is...
You had to go... Na-na-na-na-na.
That is
honestly, you lighten them up and they still screw it up.
Because I'm trying to think of the bloke's name. He plays a lot of PlayStation stuff. He's one of the few that I follow. Anyway, we did it, and for some reason I just said mana mana, and then Gimli just joined in with the rest of the Muppet song. Then, so if you go and have a look for our YouTube videos, in fact, I'll dig it out later and I'll find it. And then he did an entire thing of me and Gimli singing along in part to the Muppets music. And then we made a video out of it, and he made a video, and he let us put it on our YouTube. Why can't I remember his bloody name? Oh, he's always on about his PS4 games.
It's not Sim, is it?
No, Sim. It's Sim's birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, 60. Sim!
He was 60 years old.
You're such a twat, Danny.
So I'm going to go. Oh, no. I'm going to go and find this thing, and then.
Okay, Kevin, I'm not sure where you're from, mate, but Maitland Niles, he's totally conservative.
It's San Mateo, California.
That comes from the Tuesday Club. We stole it from them, all these silly little sayings.
But to be fair, his mum is mad as a bag of snakes. You know, she'll fight you on the beaches.
I'm sorry you said that, though.
I'm not saying a word. I'm not going anywhere near the woman. She is bonkers. I'm sure she's a lovely, lovely lady who just cares a lot about her son. Lots of talk about the Birmingham final. Let's be honest. Who's mentioned the fact that Koscielny fucked up? That's the way it goes. It's one of those days.
Ian, that's it. At UK Vampire. And it's had 3,200 views. And if you want to go and have a listen to it, I'll put it in the chat box now. So, Ian did that for us. And it's our very first video on our YouTubings.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Any other questions? Because if I've missed one, I do apologise.
Oh, it's Stefan's birthday on Friday as well.
So Stefan Selby's birthday. Happy birthday, Stefan.
He's going to be 102.
Oh. He's going to be 14.
Oh, here you go. Here's a good point from Mr. Gunaholic. He says, other than the 60s and the 80s, we have never produced large numbers of first-team players from the youth. Most never do. One or two now and again in these days. Well, in the early 80s, that was the Adams and the Davis, yeah. Rowcastle, Thomas days, and nothing is ever going to eclipse those.
To be fair, I think that's fair comment, isn't it? You know, it is difficult to bring players through. But again, with the amount of money we're spending on the academy, etc., you know, we want a bit more. We want a bit more.
Here's a question for you from Gooners in the USA, a very fine podcast. Gooners, if you want to put a link in here to your podcast, feel free, because it's very funny, these two tits just talking about nonsense. He says, what Muppet does Danny most closely identify with?
to be honest with you, Fozzie Bear. He's Fozzie Bear. He's Fozzie Bear.
Cookie Monster.
Who's the band leader? Who's the band leader with the big beard and the gold teeth?
Oh, the one played. Didn't he have purple hair and play the saxophone or something?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. That's the one. That's you, just without the hair. Okay. Brady Staples. Marble Halls is coming back in with a few. Call we did have from Palace. Cesc from Barcelona. O'Leary from the Bins. Sorry, please.
O'Leary's English. Most people don't realise that. He's born in London.
Wasn't he brought up in Ireland, though?
Yeah. Went moved to Dublin when he was a very young wee whippersnapper.
Did he? Really? Adzadzi, is Lucas Perez okay? Nothing mentioned at the conference. No idea, bro. No idea. Not the foggiest.
By okay.
Did he get injured?
Well, he went straight down the tunnel.
Off, didn't he?
Yeah, he went straight down the tunnel, didn't he? Went straight down the tunnel. Yeah. Okay, I think we'll be going for an hour now. It's time to wrap this up. How did Donald Trump fare as a football manager? How would Donald Trump fare? Actually, You know, he's a bit like Mourinho. He's a sexist twat of a man, okay? Let's not go down the political route here. I'll just get my hair off and I'll end up looking like Daniel.
Oi.
Not that that's a bad thing.
I think the Muppet is called Dr. Teeth. Because they're called Dr. Teeth in the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Donald Trump would be an Arsenal fan TV, wouldn't he?
I suppose.
Oh, sorry. That's not shots fired either. That's just, you know, somebody getting his hair off. You know, mind you, his hair only walked back. Right, okay, that's it for tonight. Thank you ever so much for listening, guys. I'm watching. Really appreciate it. As always, we once again apologise for Captain Pugwash's Saturday fiasco. He's a shambles of a man. Honestly, we were at the Swansea game and that's all you had was warmy hearties. He's walking around in his peg leg. Oh, he's a good boy. He's a good boy. My thanks tonight to Ellis. Ellis, thank you very much. Great podcasting with you, bro.
Thank you for having me on. It's been a pleasure as always.
It's okay. You can slip me the 50 quid later.
Daniel,
you're an utter cock womble and I love you.
Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, bro. And once again, guys, thank you ever so much for listening. It's much appreciated. If you can give us a like, that is always welcome. Thank you very much. And Roger the Car Bin Boy, Matthew Finch is on fire. There's also, is it Master Bates? Semen stains. Oh, it just goes on. It's fantastic. And to be fair, if you want to see Semen Stains live in concert, just check out Chris's t-shirt next week. Yay! Sorry, I've been in a shit mood all day and it's time to enjoy. Good night, guys. Thank you ever so much. Tony Lee, sorry, shit. I called you the guy from... Oh, I didn't know it was one of those American big air bands. Thank you. Take care. Good night. Knock it off, Daniel.
Bye-bye.
I've been waiting all night for you to tell me what you want. Tell me that you need me. I've been waiting all night for you to, oh, tell me what you want, yeah. I've been waiting all night for you to tell me what you want. Tell me that you need me. I've been waiting all night for you to, tell me what you want, yeah, want, yeah, want, yeah, want, yeah, want, yeah, want, 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 yeah. I've been waiting all night for you to tell me that you need me, tell me that you want me. I've been waiting all night for you.